Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
We had the high privilege of hearing Duane Ostrom today. Duane Ostrom is an extraordinary missions entrepreneur. He is from Norwegian descent, I guess a Viking originally, but his family were immigrants and they came to North Dakota, good cold country. He felt the Lord's calling him into his family as a young person, but became a businessman, an extremely successful businessman. He was the founder and CEO of OTC Manufacturing, which was an aerospace materials manufacturing company. He did that for many years, but on a parallel track, he was a bivocational pastor, and God just kept giving him a heart for the nations. He started going on mission trips to different places, and in 2003, Duane said, "I am all in." He left his business career, and he became a missionary in Southeast Asia, in Myanmar. And eventually God elevated him to the place where he was the affinity leader. That means he was one of the top eight people in all of the International Mission Board. And he is an amazing man. As a trustee, I've come to know Duane. He is married to Jeannie. They have three children, eight grandchildren. And I want to invite you to hear him with intensity and joy as he presents God's message to our hearts. Would you help me welcome Duane Ostrom?
Well, good morning. I am delighted to be back in this city and in this church. 3 years in a row, you are gluttons for punishment. I love your heart. I love your heart for missions because that is God's heart. I love the fact that you send and support and give of your resources. I love to be here during Lottie Moon's season to tell you what God is doing around the world, and it is amazing. Now, I want to invite your attention this morning to the book of Acts in chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26. Some years ago, I was traveling with our national partners into a region we had not been in before. We got to a certain point, and I looked up in the mountains, and I said to my national partners, "What are the groups that live up there?" Because I could see villages clinging to the mountainside. They said, "Well, we don't really know. We've not been there before either." And I said, "Well, I would like to go and find out who they are so we know if we need to make an effort to reach them." They said, "You're a foreigner. You can't go. It's blacklisted." I just felt that God wanted us to understand who was in that region, and so I said, "What could we do to facilitate me getting into that region?" They thought for a while and said, "Well, you could get under the tarp in the back of the truck, and we'll sit around back there and hope they don't look into the truck and see you underneath that tarp. It won't go well for you or for us." So I said, "Are you willing to give it a try?" And they said, "We're willing." I said, "Let's go." We made it through the checkpoints, military checkpoints, and we arrived up in the mountain. When we came to a certain village, we pulled the truck over and got out, and the village elder came down from his hut to meet us. He invited us up into the bamboo hut and put the old rugged tee on, and he began to just talk with us, and we chit-chatted about this and that. In Asia, relationships are more important than time. Unfortunately, in America, time is more important than relationships. And so we're in this little bamboo hut. He's inviting all of the other men from the village to come up, and we're sitting there talking. And finally, I say to them, "I have come a very long way to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's about the God who made you and the God who loves you and wants a relationship with you. Do I have permission to tell you the story?" And the village elder said, "Yes, we would like to hear the story." Well, before I start, I asked them, now I say, "I'm looking around this area." I said, "Do you own all this land around here?" He said, "Well, we used to, but not anymore." I said, "What is the problem? What happened?" He said, "The spirits required so many sacrifices of buffalo and pigs and chickens from us, we had to sell the land in order to buy the buffalo to sacrifice. Now we have nothing left." I said, I'm so sorry. But I said, I've come to tell you a story that will cheer your hearts today. I said, let me begin. And beginning with who God is and working our way through the creation story and on through the story of Christ, we began to unfold God's plan of salvation. Partway through the story, the men in the village began to get a little bit jittery. They switched from the language that I understood into the language that belonged to them as their tribe. And I looked at my national partner. I said, what are they saying? He said, I don't know either. And so it began to look like this wasn't going to happen, end happily. And finally, the village elder turned and looked at me and he said, our ancestors had a story that they passed down to us, that one day a man with a skin color like yours would come to our village and he would have a story about the greatest spirit of all. We've been waiting generations for that man to come. You're the only man we've ever seen with that color skin. Are you the man our ancestors told us about? And after I pushed the hair on my neck back down, I said, yes, I'm that man. And the story I'm telling you is the one your ancestors waited for. And I said, let me tell it all the way through. And when we were done, I looked at my watch and I realized I'd been there too long. The military would be looking for me. And so I said, I can't stay here, but I'm going to teach that man, my national partner, the story I've been telling you, and he will come back and he will tell you again. Would you like that? Oh, yes, we would like that very much. And so we left, but the national partner went back, and today there's a church where there was never a church before. That's what your IMB missionaries do. That's what they're all about. They're about taking the light into darkness. They're about penetrating those areas where Satan has held sway for generations. They're about proclaiming the good news of the gospel to those who have never heard. I want to talk to you this morning about why churches like this one support and send missionaries, why they encourage people in the congregation who have a heart for God's work overseas to go, why they send their money to Lottie Moon's offering in order that missionaries from other places can also go. I want to remind us this morning why, as a missionary, we go and do what we do, because it's the heart of God. God is taking out from among the nations a people for his name, and God is calling us to work together with him in the doing of that. And so I want to remind us this morning what God is all about. Now, if your Bible is open to Acts chapter 26, I want to just lift out one verse. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. He's being accused of crimes of high treason, of disrupting the societies. And Paul is giving an answer about why he does what he does, why he is proclaiming Christ, why he is naming the claims of Christ, why he is doing all of this. And in his testimony, he finally comes to verse 18. Now, this is the experience on the road to Damascus. He is telling this man what he saw when Jesus appeared to him and what Jesus said to him. And here it is. I am delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul, I am sending you. Now, I want us to be reminded this morning of the three indisputable facts about the state of the heathen. The three indisputable facts about the state of the heathen. Here's number one. Jesus said, I am sending you to open their eyes because they are blind without an eternal purpose. They are blind without an eternal purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, regarding them, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They cannot see. Satan has blinded them from the truth of the gospel. No one has ever come to tell them the claims of Christ. and they reside in darkness. And so they recite repetitious and meaningless prayers in search of they know not what. They perform endless rituals. They engage in futile festivals. They seek to appease and to manipulate through meditation, sacrifice, earning of merit, and casting of spells. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And as a result, they live lives of quiet desperation. I was visiting in a mountain village. I sat down with the witch doctor of the village, and I said, "What is it that you believe here?" And he began to talk to me about their animistic Buddhist belief. And then he took me to a little building, and he said, "You cannot go in, because if you go in, you will inhibit the powers of our spirits. But you can look through the window and see the paraphernalia." And I did. I said to the witch doctor, I said, "Tell me, what are the names of the spirits you worship?" He said, "We don't know. Our ancestors didn't tell us." I said, "Where do the spirits live?" He said, "Oh, in the trees, the mountains, in the rivers." I said, "Why do you worship the spirits?" He said, "Because our ancestors did." Living a life of quiet desperation. I watched a Hindu boy walk down the streets of one of our major cities during a Hindu festival. He carried on his head and shoulders an iron contraption embedded with nails and other sharp objects. Every step he took would cause the object to penetrate his skin, and he left a trail of blood down the street as he sought to appease some of the 350 million gods of Buddhism. I stood in a park in the largest Muslim country in the world, talking to an elderly gentleman. In the distance was a Muslim mosque. I pointed at it and I said, "What is that building?" He says, "It's a mosque." So I said, "You are Muslim?" "Yes," he said, "I am." "Well," I said, "would you tell me about it?" He began to explain it. When he was done, I said, "How fascinating." I said, "You know, I'm not an expert in this, but I did read in some of the writings of Islam that at the end of the age, the one called Isa el-Mashi, Jesus, will come back to judge the world and all of the people in the world. Is that true?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You've only talked to me about Muhammad. What about this man, Isa el-Mashi, who will come back to judge you?" I said, "Aren't you afraid of him? I would be far more afraid of the man who will judge me than the man who will not judge me." I said, "What will you do with your sin when Isa el-Mashi returns according to your own writings?" And he looked at me and he said, "Only Allah knows." Akaluk was a friend of mine, a Buddhist from birth. We'd shared the gospel many times. We'd eaten together. We were friends. I had hoped that God would open his heart to see the truth of the gospel, but he hadn't up to this point. He's still abiding in darkness. He said to me one day, "Duane, would you come with me to the Buddhist temple?" I said, "Certainly I will come." We walked into the Buddhist temple, taking our shoes off, sitting cross-legged, which for an old man like me is not an easy task. We sat like that for 1 hour and listened as the monk began to chant in his melodious style. When we were all done, I turned to my friend and I said, "Now what did he say? Because I couldn't understand him." Akaluk said, "I didn't understand anything he said either." Said, "He's speaking in Pali, an ancient Hindu language that only the monks know." I said, "Akaluk, do you come here often?" He says, "Yes." I say, "You come and sit for 1 hour listening to something you can't even understand?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Why do you do such a thing?" He shrugged his shoulders and he said, "It's what we do." Jesus said to Paul, "I'm sending you to open their eyes. They are blind without eternal purpose. They do not know God. They do not know God's intent for them. They do not know what God has prepared for those who love him." And Jesus said, "I want you, and I want to use you to open their eyes. They're blind. And the question comes, if not us, then who? And if not now, when? Blind without eternal purpose. But there's a second thing, ignorant without spiritual perception. Ignorant without spiritual perception. Jesus said to Paul, I want you to turn them from darkness to light. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 calls them dead in trespasses and sin. It means without life. It means that men and women, boys and girls without a relationship with God are lifeless. They're spiritually dead. They live in darkness because they do not know the truth. I once asked a lady in one of our Southeast Asian cities, I said, have you ever heard of Yeshu, the name for Jesus in that language? She thought for a moment and she said, no, I've never been to that village. I sat with two monks on the Mekong River eating lunch together. We talked about this and about that, and finally I said, I want to talk to you about a man by the name of Yeshu. There's an incredible story behind the life of this man. And the things that he did are so awesome, you won't believe them. Would you like to hear? And the two monks said, oh, yes, we would like to hear. And so I said, his name is Yeshu. Have you ever heard about him before? One monk looked at the other one, and they chatted together for a moment, turned back to me and said, we've not heard this name, this Yeshu, Jesus. Is he an American? I was handing out the Jesus film to young people. One young lady came and received it from my hand so thankfully. She said, I'm so excited to have this. She said, oh, it says Yeshu, story of Yeshu. She said, is he an American singer? Ignorant without spiritual perception, they don't know. They've never heard. They live quiet lives of desperation. And Paul was told by our Lord, go and open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. And today, your missionaries with IMB are serving all over the world, taking the gospel into the darkness. They don't know, so they follow the way of Buddhism, the cycle of life, the 10 black fires of desire, the merit and karma, the 31 levels of existence. And it's a hard way. Some of the followers of Buddha came to him one day and said, what can we do to have our bad karma removed? And the Buddha said, is that what you want? Your bad karma removed? They said, oh, yes, that's what we want. He said, it's like this. There's a large block of granite. And once a year, an angel will come down from the heavens with a feather in hand. And the angel will take one swipe across the granite block and then return to heaven. And on the day, the granite block is completely gone because of the friction of that feather, your bad karma can be removed. Can you imagine growing up with an environment like that, knowing that it's hopeless, completely hopeless, that you cannot get where you want to go? And they live lives of quiet desperation. They don't know, so they follow the way of Islam, the dietary rules and the religious dress, the legalistic rituals, the repetitious prayers, and the lifelong uncertainty that only Allah knows. They're born animist. They're born Buddhist. They're born Hindu and Muslim, Catholic and atheist, ignorant all. But they cannot help where they were born. And if you were born in Indonesia, you probably would be Muslim. And if you were born in Thailand, you probably would be Buddhist because it's all they know. But into the midst of that comes the gospel. And your IMB missionaries bringing the light into the darkness. I want you to hear the story of a convert from Islam. By the way, God is doing incredible things in the world of Islam today. Did you know there have been more Muslims coming to Christ in the past 40 years than in the previous 1,400 years? God is turning the Muslim world upside down, and Muslims are looking for truth to right the wrong. Listen to the story. I became a believer a few years ago. At that time, I was suffering from really bad coughing. The results of the lab test said that I was suffering from tuberculosis. I'd been suffering more or less a year from the coughing that daily became worse. Oftentimes, I would cough up phlegm mixed with blood. One time, one of my relatives from the village came to visit me. He was quite concerned to see my physical condition, and he offered to pray for me. Before praying, he told a story I had never ever heard before. It was about a woman suffering from an issue of blood. When she was immediately healed by touching the robe of Isa el-Mashi, Jesus. He told how the power of Isa el-Mashi flowed to the woman because she was convinced that Isa el-Mashi had power to heal. The next morning, he took his leave to return home. But before he left, he asked me a question related to the story of the woman with the issue of blood. What did the woman do that resulted in the power of Isa el-Mashi flowing out and healing her affliction? He asked. I said, well, she touched the robe of Isa el-Mashi. My relative then asked, what about you? Do you want to touch it also? At that moment, I fell into silence because I didn't know what to say. And he said, think about it, my brother. And finally, he left to return home. But his simple question made me quite nervous. On the one hand, I wanted healing like the lady in the story. But on the other hand, there was no way I would do it because it conflicted with my religious Islamic beliefs. After 3 days, I telephoned my relative because I was no better, asking him to pray for me again. But I was quite surprised when he refused to pray for me. Instead, he asked me to pray to Isa el-Mashi myself. That, he said, would be like touching the robe of Isa el-Mashi. That night, I summoned the courage to pray to Isa el-Mashi. I only said, Isa el-Mashi, please heal my affliction. After that simple prayer, I was trembling in fear because, truth be told, I had never done such a thing as long as I lived. Incredibly, that night, I slept soundly. Even though before, sleeping was difficult because of the bad coughing. The next morning, I woke up and again I prayed, Isa el-Mashi, thank you, because I'm sure that your power will heal my affliction. Praise the Lord. An Islamist, praise the Lord. A convert from Islam, praise the Lord. To make the story short, after a month, I no longer coughed. I went for a checkup with a doctor, and lo and behold, my tuberculosis test was negative, meaning I was healed. Since that moment, I have really become a wholehearted believer. Finally, I've attended training when offered, and started a congregation. Praise the Lord again. At this time, I lead 3 house churches and a few Bible studies. My dream for the future is to have a new house church in every Islamic village in my area, and that all of my extended family become believers. And they conclude with, Amen. Jesus told Paul, I'm sending you to them because they're blind without eternal purpose. They wander around in darkness, not knowing what to look for. Jesus said, Paul, I'm sending you because they're ignorant without perception. And for the most part, they're born where they have no access to the gospel, and I want you to take it to them. And God is telling us in the church today, now is our time. Now is our time. People are responding all across the world. Christianity sweeping China and Southeast Asia. Christianity moving like the giant bus through Africa. Now is the time. The world is in turmoil. People are asking, what is the answer? And we have it. We must not miss the opportunity. The Bible says, how can they call on him of whom they have not believed? How can they believe without hearing about him? And Jesus said, I want to use you to turn them from darkness to light. And here is the indisputable fact number three. Not only are they blind without purpose and ignorant without perception, but they are enslaved without provision. Jesus said, turn them from the power of Satan unto God. John, writing in his first epistle in chapter 5, says the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. Men and women, boys and girls are under the control of Satan with no way of escape. That is what the Bible teaches. They're enslaved to Satan. They're enslaved to sin. They wear amulets to ward off evil spirits. They build false doors in their homes to confuse the spirits. They build altars and bring offerings to appease the spirits. They bow down before graven images. They place images in their cars, in their homes, and in their places of work. They count beads. They light incense. They seek guidance and blessing from idols of wood and stone. They consult mediums to communicate with the dead and to look into the future. They practice astrology and other things forbidden by the Bible. They keep on, as Isaiah said in chapter 45, they keep on praying to gods who cannot save. And Jesus said, I want you to free them through the message of the gospel. And into this environment of bondage and slavery comes the gospel, and comes your IMB missionary carrying the light into the darkness. I want you to hear this story. It's never too late, one of your missionaries writes, talking about a Buddhist witch doctor. Mrs. Yin's life intersected an old female witch doctor. This 80-plus-year-old Buddhist witch doctor was on her deathbed. Nothing could help. No doctors, no spirits, no other shamans. So she finally called Mrs. Yin. She'd heard about Mrs. Yin's faith in Christ and the power of Christ who worked in and through her praying. Mrs. Yin came to pray for the old witch doctor, and Christ healed her. This 80-plus-year-old witch doctor placed her faith in Christ, burned her spirit paraphernalia, and began sharing what God had done for her to anyone who would listen. Her drug-addicted son also came to faith, and God radically changed his life. And your IMB missionary says, Christ has transformed a family riddled by slavery to the spirit world and struck by the guilt of a conscience. Where sin and Satan reigned, Christ now rightfully has taken his place, and today there's a church of six families meeting in her home where a church never existed before. Isn't God good? God is at work around the world in ways we cannot imagine. The great gospel bus is moving through the countries of the world, and God is bringing light in the midst of the darkness, because churches like you give and go and send and help. Thank you for that. Lottie Moon season reminds us that people, men and women, boys and girls outside of Christ, are blind without purpose. They're ignorant without perception. They are enslaved without provision. And Jesus said, I want to use you to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Now I want to ask a question. Perhaps you're here today and you've been hearing about the indisputable facts of the state of the heathen, and maybe you find yourself there. You've never become a believer in Jesus. You've never turned from your sin to receive Him as Savior. I want to tell you today that what God is doing all around the world in changing hearts, He will do for you if only you will come and say, "Here I am, save me." Perhaps you're a believer today. God has given you resources. Resources that can be used in the kingdom. Resources that God can take and multiply throughout the world. Maybe if you're like me, your investments haven't gone so well this year. Maybe you're at negative. Maybe at even. But this is an investment that will go on for eternity and always yields a positive gain. Maybe your resources can be used for the kingdom, and maybe God is saying to you today, why don't you fill the coffers with Lottie Moon so that the IMB can send even more workers around the world? Maybe God has put it in your heart. You've wrestled for a long time with the fact that the world is lost, and it's the heart of God to carry the gospel to all the nations. Maybe you've been wrestling with that. You've been wondering, what does God want me to do? I've invested all these years in education. I've built a great business. Everything is going so well with my children, but you can't get rid of the nudge of God in your life that says, are you willing to follow me to the ends of the earth? And I can tell you from experience, I wouldn't change a thing. The blessings of serving God in the field outnumber anything else I've ever done in life. And maybe God wants you to experience that same joy and blessing. Maybe you're a young person. You're looking in the book and you're seeing all of the mission trips. Maybe you're an older person. All of the mission trips around the world to come alongside our IMB missionaries. You will bless them and they will bless you. I received an email this morning from a team that's on the border of Myanmar and China. Their 10th year going. Pastor, there's 120 in their church on a Sunday morning. They sent 25 people to Myanmar and Thailand to carry the gospel. It can be done if there's a heart to do it. Maybe God is calling you to join one of those teams and to go. What is God saying to you today? Pastor's going to come in a moment. What's God saying? The pastor will be down here to meet with you. If you want to pray with him, I'll be down here if I could answer any questions and encourage you in the way. God is calling us to take the gospel to the nations. It is said of David that David served the purpose of God in his generation and he fell asleep. What will be said of us? Did we serve the purpose of God in our generation? Won't you come? Won't you wrestle with the purpose and plan of God in your life? Would you be willing to part with some in order that others might be blessed? You come, Pastor.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.